College football fans, are you ready for week one? DraftKings Sportsbook is hooking you up with a can't-miss offer to start the season strong. This week, new customers can bet just $5 on college football and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Anything can happen in college football. That's right. Your team could go from unranked to dynasty mode in just a couple of years. Change comes fast. The only thing that's a lock is great offers from the DraftKings Sportsbook. Life's more fun when you're in on the action. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code TASKMASTER, all lowercase. New customers can score $200 in bonus bets instantly when they bet just $5 on college football. Only DraftKings Sportsbook is the way to go, and use that promo code TASKMASTER, then the crown is yours. That's right. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use that promo code TASKMASTER. Own it, live it, win the crown.
We love the 1980s wrestling era when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and the family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lanny Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode here. I am your host, JP John Podge from the Two Man Power Trip. Of course, joining me is the former WCW and ECW World Tag Team Champion, one of the greatest minds and bookers ever in the history of the business, the Games Master, the Taskmaster, the Devil himself, Mr. Kevin Sullivan. Kevin, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great, JP. How are you doing, my man?
Doing good. Doing very good. We were kind of saying off air, just, you know, with the comings and goings of the wrestling business, I was saying, hey, maybe CM Punk comes back to WWE. And you said, nah, probably not. So what do you think about that? Punk or no to WWE? That's definitely not going to happen?
No.
Why not?
Why? Why for?
Well, they have the big Survivor Series show coming up in Chicago. Roman Reigns isn't booked until January for WWE.
You ever hear the expression, a mistake on you, shame on the other person, second mistake, shame on you? This is not going to end well. Okay, who's over more? No disrespect for Punk, because I love his work, but he's going to be so much under the microscope, he's going to piss somebody off without even meaning to piss them off. You know what I mean? And somebody's going to come up and say something to him. He's going to come back with some kind of answer. And isn't Randy Orton coming back?
Yes. Soon.
Who would you rather have come back? Randy Orton or a kid that took a bunch of shit from a 130-pound guy?
Well, I kind of do really want Orton back because, you know, to me, one of the greatest guys of the last 20 years, for sure.
Okay. Were they fired Orton over that shit?
No. Oh, okay. Hey, come on. He's been there since 2002. I mean, he's still going strong. Obviously, he's coming back from injury. That's why he's been out. But it's going to be great when he does come back, because I feel like they could use another top guy maybe to... I don't know, maybe turn heel and feud with Cody.
Another top guy. They got so many top guys, they can't even book them all at the same time.
Really? Who else do you consider a top guy over there? Cody, Roman, who else?
You don't think McIntyre is a top guy?
Oh, no, he definitely is. Yes. Yep.
Oh, see, Seth Rollins?
For sure. Yep.
Kevin Owens?
Up there. Yep. Upper tier.
Arabic kid, Sami Zayn?
Yep. He's up there. But I feel like most of it, besides Drew and Roman, they got mostly baby faces. I feel like maybe you get Orton back as a top guy and you have a heel for those guys to feud with.
Okay. That can be done. But you don't have to bring anybody else in, do you?
Yeah, I don't know what they do with Punk. I know that's the big rumor, and they're teasing it.
Who do you beat? Who do you beat? Do you beat a guy that's been loyal to you for 10 years? Or before that, or left on his own discord? Or do you bring somebody else in?
I don't know. They keep teasing Punk, though. Like, his logo is on the background when guys are cutting promos. Guys are saying his catchphrases. I mean, they're teasing it for some reason, unless they're just trolling the audience.
Do you really think that after all, and he's allowed everybody to come back, and I'm not saying I'm 100% right, because... one thing about Vince and Hunter, they're all business. You know, you're not insulting them because they're business people. I don't understand. Are you going to bring a guy back who's been loyal as your best dog that you have in the ad, or someone that's bit your hand numerous times.
Right, you want the loyal dog. But you don't think they could bring both of them back? Wouldn't make sense?
Why do you need him? You only got so much space, or you only got so much slots. Why? Tell me what you would do with him. Tell me what you do with him.
To be honest, I'd feud him with Roman Reigns. And then obviously Roman Reigns beats him, but that just gives Roman Reigns another guy to feud with for a few months before maybe The Rock comes in, or before
you're going to Cody walk rematch. Into the dressing room and sit him down and saying, "We're beating you with Roman Reigns."
You don't think he'd have a problem with that?
Oh. You know?
You don't think he'd do it?
I'm not saying that I don't think he'd do it. I'm just saying, do you think it's going to be the easiest thing?
Maybe not.
Yeah.
All right. So you're against CM Punk coming back. You're just totally against it. You don't want to happen. He's too much of a malcontent.
Let me ask you. Why do you want him back? Tell me why.
Another main event guy, another guy to feud with Roman.
Another main event guy. How can you say that, John?
What do you mean?
How is his UFC fights?
Not good.
So that doesn't matter to you?
No. To be honest, no. Nope, not to me. Does it matter to you?
Yeah.
Interesting. But what about his run with AEW where he's the top guy? He literally leaves as world champion. That doesn't matter?
Do you know what kind of lawsuit they'd have?
With him, you mean?
Leaving with the belt?
Well, he's not going to bring it on TV, but I'm saying he's technically was the main event guy of the world champion when he left.
Wait a minute. You obviously haven't lost money with a lawyer. I lost fucking over $200,000 with a lawyer over a case I should have won, John.
Really?
I had some property in New Hampshire with my brother, raw property. Someone built a wall. And they got allowed to keep it because it was called abandonment. We went to court on it. It lost $200,000.
Damn. Crazy.
What do you mean crazy? John, do you think there's justice in this country?
No, doesn't seem like it.
So you don't think that they would get the best lawsuit to go against Endeavor? Because here's what's going to happen. Endeavor's going to have to pay something.
Yeah.
Is he worth it?
I don't know. I for some reason, I don't know. I feel like he's got like a cult of fans. He's super popular. Obviously, he was the number one draw in AEW.
How many people did they draw with him?
Well, way more than they're drawing now. Now that they're in the shitter big time without him.
Yeah, and they'll be more interested in the shit that he does in the background than what he does in the ring.
So the bad outweighs the good to you with bringing him back.
If you're the boss and he tells you go fuck yourself, what would you do?
You got to fire him, right? I mean, if he's not going to listen, he's going to be a malcontent. You got to fire him, I guess.
That isn't what's coming from your mouth.
Well, WWE, I feel like he'll be on his best behavior. You know, this is his, like, kind of his last chance, last opportunity. He wants to be a part of WrestleMania.
He's a psychopath.
Wow. He can't control himself, you think? He wouldn't be able to keep himself on his best behavior?
Have you met people that can't? I have said shit that's come out of my mouth. I said, as it's come out, I say, why am I saying this? Has that ever happened to you?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
He has it magnetized in us.
To me, though, I feel like you need more guys for Roman to work with that he hasn't worked with before. He would fit that bill, no?
One time. Hey, listen, I'm not against Roman as much as I sound like, but I don't want to tell you I told you so. Do you know what I'm saying?
Meaning that he's going to have another incident or another trouble or, you know, another episode, if you will.
Let me ask you this.
You cut the glass, you place it, and then you put it.
Let me turn the TV off real quick.
Yeah, no problem.
Let me ask you this. You don't get along with somebody.
Yep.
Do you go and aggravate them?
No, just ignore them.
You know why he was going to go to Atlanta to have the meeting with them?
Why?
I believe to kick the shit out of them.
Who was going to do that? Who was going to beat him up?
He was. He was going to beat them up.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah.
Provoke something.
You seem like you're not a Punk fan. You don't want him back. But they're returning to Chicago. They keep teasing this. No?
All the way. You're going to blow up. John, think about this. You know what you're thinking about? A wrestling fan.
Yes. Yes. Definitely.
This is business, brother. What if he does something so fucking crazy that Usher gets pushed off the balcony? Something so absurd. I know I'm talking out my ass now. Can you afford to take that chance, Sean?
No.
That's all I'm getting to. I happen to like Punk. I like your shit. I've told you that on TV. If I could trust him, I would snap him up in a minute. If I could snap him up in a minute. He's one of the premier fucking performers ever. Where is he? Call himself the best in the world?
Yep.
Oh, he is. He's terrific. I find nothing wrong with him. And here's the sad part. It's the other guy's faults that caused that. These guys, someday, when they get to be my age and they're grizzled, and they say, boy, did we fuck up with that Punk. Ego took away from us. We wanted to be the best, and he was the best. We really screwed up.
So I would hope, though, if he'd go to WWE, that he'd be on his best behavior. You know, it would be a different Punk than the last time around, you would hope.
Okay. Let me ask you something, John. There's business and there's business, right?
Mm-hmm.
When I opened my gym, there was a hospital where a very rich guy in town was going to operate it for older people to do rehab, right? I got in a fucking argument with the county commissioner. Lo and behold, they say it's not just for rehab, it's for everybody, and they bought all kinds of weights. So how many clientele do you think I lost that were intimidated, that would have taken it and had a good time once they come in? Once I got a client, I never lost them to the hospital. But because I had the problem with the guy, he did a sneaky thing, right?
Yep.
What if I'm a guy working for Vince, making, I don't know, give me a figure, John. I don't know what they make.
A million.
All of them make a million?
Oh, all the guys?
What does a middle guy make?
Probably 350K or something.
Okay. What if a guy comes to the set, why don't you start riding Punk, and we'll give you $2 million cash and a job with us for $600,000 a year? You think that's possible?
And he could get provoked and start a fight with them, and yeah, yep.
Huh?
For sure.
Would I like to see Punk there? I'm a wrestling fan. I'll always be a wrestling fan. God, I would love Punk to be there. Could you imagine the matches Punk and Cody would have?
Oh, yeah.
But sometimes you gotta, once you go to Dante's Seven Circles of Hell, and you see what's really there, it changes you completely. You realize that there's a saying, there's you can expect justice. I don't think so.
Good point. Now, as far as today and today's topic, we're talking about NWA Starrcade 1988, also entitled True Grit, which was held at the Norfolk Scope in Norfolk, Virginia. The attendance was a little bit over 10,000. Of course, like I mentioned, the tagline is True Grit, and the pay-per-view buys 150K. So pretty good to note there. And I wanted to note the date was December 26th, 1988. You guys actually moved off of your Thanksgiving date, which was always your yearly thing, like we talked about last week, because now Survivor Series was the Thanksgiving Day tradition, and they were killing you guys, so you had to move to December. What do you think about that? The move from Starrcade, which was, you know, since 83 to 87 was in Thanksgiving, you guys changed it to December.
You had to do what you had to do. Them kicking our ass. Right?
Yep.
And we had to do what we had to do to make ourselves competitive. They were doing well. I mean, ups and flows and valleys, peaks. and holes in the ground. It's like when we start the conversation about CM Punk, you thought I was crazy. At the end of the conversation, you saw that in business, anything can happen.
Yep.
Yeah. Whitey Bulger. Do you know who he was?
Oh, yeah. Big time criminal.
Okay. He was going to go to court. You know, and Whitey was a song he was going to go and tell everything he knew, right?
Yep.
They sent him to the most vicious prison on a one-day notice. The next day, he was dead.
Set him up, yep.
There's all kinds of setups. I'm not going to say they would go that far. But when you see the world, you see that anything can happen. And especially if there's... Okay. Here's some. Jeffrey Epstein. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he hung himself?
Hell no.
Oh, okay. Okay. So why would you think that the wrestling business would be any different?
Oh, yeah. Vince definitely strong-armed it, and then NWA had to move their date for sure. I mean, that's the pay-per-view companies. I'm sure he strangled them and said, hey, this is you want us? Move them.
I'm not going to use the name. How did a gentleman guy whose father promoted boxing in Atlantic City in wrestling matches in Coney Island end up having a TV bypass the Golden the Golden Twins, bypassed the Johnsons, who manipulated the Garden for over 30 years.
Goldust Trio, right?
Yeah, how did that happen?
Got to be some sort of money being moved or, I don't know, some sort of issue there, mafia related or not.
Not, doesn't have to be mafia. It's positioning. John, you're too young, but the Watergate, right?
Yep.
The deep throat. Do you know the line, just follow the money?
Oh, yeah.
There it is.
It's my favorite Jesse Ventura line when he always says, follow the money.
Yeah, and he's not wrong. I mean, they get people in Congress and the Senate get their full pay for the rest of their life if they only did one term.
Crazy. Yep.
So
follow the money. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is, there's been a lot of conversation about Punk. And there you have now have businessmen who have billions. They put, what was it, 9.3
billion? Yep.
Are they going to take the chance? whether we want to see it or not, I'm for Punk. I'm for Punk going back there and making a huge splash. The people would go crazy in Chicago.
Yep.
But is it worth the risk? You're going to weigh risk and reward. And that's the business side of wrestling.
Yep, for sure.
Isn't it funny that Vince bought all the library for $2.1 million and the two lawyers that did it were college roommates?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, Brad Siegel, yeah, yep. That is true. It's also interesting here, you know, speaking about WCW being sold to WWF and all the, you know, just the behind-the-scenes stuff and the cheap deal that they got there. This is actually the last pay-per-view by the NWA because Jim Crockett will sell to Ted Turner and WCW in November of 1988 here. So no longer do we have a JCP and Jim Crockett Promotions, we now have Ted Turner's World Championship Wrestling. Very interesting. As you know, JCP was going bankrupt here.
Right. Right.
What do you think about that? With that huge turn and Ted Turner becoming, you know, the new owner. I mean, that's got to shake things up a little bit.
Absolutely. They never saw that one coming.
Nope. Pretty crazy that they were able to be so successful years before, but then just like that in 88, they're bankrupt.
Yeah.
Do you attribute that to the UWF purchase, the Florida purchase, the Central States purchase, the airplanes? Like, what do you attribute that to, the bankruptcy?
How does an accountant allow them to spend all that money and he's a accountant, that's his job. How does he let it go until he comes up one day and says, we're bankrupt? How does that happen?
Right, and you're spending more than you're making. Yeah, that's got to come up a lot, or should come up a lot. Yeah, I agree. So the pay-per-view will be booked by Dusty Rhodes, and that's obviously pretty obvious because we know he's a big John Wayne fan. And if anybody hasn't seen it, one of the greatest movies of all time, True Grit, right? I mean, you're probably a little bit of a John Wayne fan, right?
Yeah.
Dusty, huge John Wayne fan. I mean, just always something with John Wayne or something with movies is always something that he loves to go to, the Hollywood stuff.
Yeah, and he's mentioned he's the John Wayne in different interviews, right?
Yes.
What I also think is buying the two planes. They were flying to Greenville, 90 miles away. With two pilots.
Wasteful spending, if you will, for sure.
Yeah.
Do you like the movie True Grit with John Wayne?
Yeah, I love it.
Awesome movie. One of the greatest movies of all time, for sure. I love it. I love John Wayne. Big fan. With Dusty, though, is it too much that he's naming pay-per-views after his favorite movies?
He had a fixation on John Wayne. He thought he was the John Wayne of wrestling.
Do you think that fits, though, like a WCW pay-per-view, NWA pay-per-view with the John Wayne movie title in it?
For Dusty, it was his way to get in homage to John Wayne.
So with this show itself, the main event is going to be Ric Flair versus Lex Luger in a rematch. They had their match at Great American Bash 88, and Ric Flair got the victory then over Luger because of excessive blood and the referee stopped the match. So there must be a rematch, and that's why they're having the rematch at this pay-per-view. Do you like that? You kind of made Luger look strong. He didn't really lose that Great American Bash, and he's getting his rematch here at Starrcade.
Do you know how that happened?
How?
Chester O'Sullivan, who is the chairman of the Baltimore Athletic Commission. That's Dusty and Gary Jester came to me and said, they gave me the finish they wanted and went in and I talked to Mr. O'Sullivan. And I said, Mr. O'Sullivan, can I talk to you for a minute? He said, yeah. I said, the saddest day of my life was when we dropped the O from our name. We should be O'Sullivan. He looked at me, laughed, and said, what do you want? I said, can you have the commissioners leave before the last match? He said, why? I said, I got to have blood on this last match. He said, okay, after the semifinal, all the commissioners will leave. Do what you want. You got one from me. Don't ever try it again.
Wow. Damn, Chester O'Sullivan, an old relative of yours for sure, somehow, some way. The old Kevin O'Sullivan.
Yeah.
Love that. It's just interesting that you found a way to keep Luger strong to kind of prolong the feud, because that's kind of that's kind of where you guys are headed, just as far as that direction. Like, Flair's still gonna be champion, but you're building Sting, you're building Luger. They're not quite ready to become the champion yet, but they're getting to that main event level.
Yeah. And he had him in the rack.
Yep. So he had him beat.
Yeah.
Now, as far as this show is concerned, the first match involves you. Kevin Sullivan and Dr. Death, Steve Williams, defeated the Fantastic, Bobby Fulton, and Tommy Rogers in a tag team match for the NWA United States Tag Team Championship. You and Dr. Death get the win in about 16 minutes, and now you guys are the United States Tag Team Champions. You guys were kind of dominant the whole match, too. It was like a real show of like dominance, but great match for sure, and a really, really strong opener. What do you think here of you and Dr. Death going over the Fantastics?
It was us that passed the belts. The next week we lost them.
What do you think about the Fantastics and working with them?
Oh, they were great. They were great.
You guys would lose. Actually, it was a couple weeks later. You guys lost to Eddie Gilbert and Rick Steiner in a tag team match, yeah. Losing those United States tag team titles. When you look at it, is that good booking, you think, that you guys go over, but you were so strong in the match? Is that just something you wanted to solidify yourself and Dr. Death as before you guys give the titles over to Gilbert and Steiner?
No, it was to get Steiner over.
Seems like Steiner later on, I mean, you could tell by the crowd, were you guys noticing it already? Like, man, this guy's super over. Obviously, he turns on the Varsity Club and starts his feud with Rotunda, but are you noticing how over he was?
I was the one that went to Dusty and said, we can't keep this guy heel. He has to be a babyface. And I talked Dusty into him being a babyface. And what better than beating the Varsity Club?
Did you like the Varsity Club just as far as yourself? Because you're the Games Master, you're not the devil. It's a completely different gimmick for you.
I loved the Varsity Club. The Varsity Club should have had a longer run. I don't hear much about the Varsity Club in today's day and age. And to me, they were one of the greatest group of guys ever assembled.
Definitely better than the Dungeon of Doom. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Man, Dr. Death, yourself, Rotunda, I don't know, Steiner's gone at this point, but Steiner was in it. Yeah, it's quite a formidable group. Great faction.
Yeah, and then we had Dan Spivey.
Yep.
We had a lot of great guys that were true athletes. But it was Steiner's time.
So you guys win the U.S. tag team titles and look pretty dominant doing it. So you and Dr. Death are champs. Next up, the Midnight Express, Bobby Eaton and Stan Lane with Jim Cornette defeat the original Midnight Express, Dennis Condrey and Randy Rose with Paul E. Dangerously. The match goes 17 minutes, 45 seconds. Again, another strong tag match. Really good stuff here. I mean, you expect nothing less than Eaton, Lane and Condrey, of course.
Yeah. Great way to start the show.
When you look at it, as far as the feud is concerned, original Midnights versus the real Midnights, Eaton Lane, do you like this feud? Because it's really getting over Paul E. Not so much Condrey Rose, but I mean, it's really getting over Paul E., I think.
Yeah. That was the idea. I broke Paul E. in the business. I've said that to Nasu. Paulie was a very special talent. I broke him in. He took championship wrestling to Florida, and he brought it to ECW. And a lot of people say, I don't understand what he's talking about. They had blood, they had juice, they had crazy shit, but at the end, they had wrestling with Shane Douglas.
For sure. He took a little bit of Memphis, too, for sure, from his time there and brought it to ECW, too. Interesting to note here, after the match, Dangerously, Rose and Condrey, who, you know, they just lost, they attacked Bobby Eaton afterwards. Is this just, and then, you know, Lane and Cornette with the tennis racket come in the ring and they chase them away. Is that just pretty simple? Like, we got to just get them some heat back after they just lost?
Yeah.
Basically, they you know, pull a heel maneuver. Hey, we lost. Screw that. We're going to beat the, you know, the one guy up 3-on-1 after the match. When the other two guys come in to make it even, we skedaddle. Basically, was the gist of it.
Yeah.
Next up, the Russian Assassins, Assassin 1 and 2, with Paul Jones, defeated the Junkyard Dog and Ivan Koloff in about 6 minutes, 45 seconds. Okay match. Nothing crazy here. It just felt like, I don't know, even in 88, the Russian Assassin gimmick seemed a little played. You agree?
Yeah. It was played out, but at that time, we needed heels, and that's why they went over.
The Angel of Death and Jack Victory were the two guys under the hoods as Assassin 1 and Assassin 2. So just interesting to note that. And interesting to note Paul Jones is still hanging around there in 1988.
Yeah.
Were you a big Paul Jones guy? Did you think he was a good manager, a good wrestler?
Great wrestler. Not a great manager.
From what I've seen, I totally agree. Yes, definitely. The next match up, we have a TV title match. The aforementioned Rick Steiner defeats Mike Rotunda with Kevin Sullivan in 18 minutes to win the World Television Championship. He was over like Rover here. Crowd was going nuts. You're actually in a cage, so you cannot be cheating in the match. So it's more of a one-on-one match. What do you think here, Ricky Steiner going over? I know you're saying that you were part of the push, but Dusty seemed like he was really getting behind Rick Steiner here and giving him the TV title. And they made it out to be on commentary that this is a huge upset.
Yeah, we made it. We saw what he had. I mean, he had to be there. He's a heel in the chat room. It was almost like the French kid who wrestled Roman Reigns in Montreal. What's his name?
Sami Zayn.
Sami turned babyface. Same way. People wanted him. Bryan Danielson, same way. People wanted him. It was organic. Rick was an exceptional talent.
At one point, towards the end of this match, Dr. Death Steve Williams comes down. He's ringing the bell just to confuse Scott Steiner and the referee. The referee gets distracted trying to figure out what's going on. Then they get you and they release you from the cage. You climb down and you climb on the apron. But it actually works against you guys as Ricky Steiner throws Rotunda into you, creates a kind of a headbutt moment, if you will. Rotunda's out of it. Steiner ends up pinning Rotunda to win the match and the TV title. So you guys even tease like, wow, Sullivan found a way out of the cage. Doctor, that's the cheating. And he still won. A little bit of a up and down as a fan. You're thinking, oh, shit, Steiner's going to lose again thanks to cheating by Sullivan. And it actually gets thwarted and Steiner wins.
You're making a guy.
Yeah.
You're making a guy.
Definitely. And he was awesome. He deserved it. And obviously one of the most over guys in WCW history for sure.
Yeah.
The dog face gremlin. They would bark like crazy and he'd run around in circles. Yeah, it was all really, really good stuff. Next up, Barry Windham with James J. Dillon defeat Bam Bam Bigelow with Oliver Humperdinck via countout. And he retains his NWA United States Heavyweight Championship. The match went about 16 minutes and 15 seconds. Another really good match, really strong match here. Interesting, though, with Bigelow on the roster here. Because, you know, he leaves WWF and there might have been not heat on him, but there was almost like he was working all those main events with Hogan. He's working the main event Survivor Series. He's fighting Andre and the last guy in. He started to get a lot of undue heat, and he's kind of a young rookie at this point in 87 at WWF, and that kind of leaves to his exit in 88. I felt like there was a lot of jealousy involved, so you guys are almost lucky enough to get Bigelow here in NWA, right?
Yeah, and going back to the match before, what was the match before?
Ricky Steiner and Rotunda.
Ricky Steiner and Rotunda. We wanted to make him, but we didn't want to hurt our number one babyface. And I didn't want to hurt Dustin, didn't want to hurt Bam Bam Bigelow. So that's how that finish came about.
Now, with Bam Bam here, you keep him strong. He loses the match, but it's via countout. So Windham retains. I mean, obviously, they're both great, and it was a great match. But this was a way to keep Bam Bam strong in hopes that he would sign a contract with you guys. He does not because of his commitment with New Japan. He was a huge star in New Japan Pro Wrestling. I mean, him and Vader got a big push, and they even feuded with each other and tagged together. So he was unwilling to sign. Is that one of those things where, like, okay, we'll lose, we'll keep Windham strong, but again, he won't sign the contract, so we'll lose him by a countout. Hopefully when he does sign the contract, then we can give him a push.
Yeah, exactly.
Was it like bitterness with you guys at all? Like, come on, we just got you from WWF. We want to give you a big push. You're a big star, Bigelow, but you got to sign a contract and he won't do it. Is that frustrating?
Frustrating because, you know, you're losing a great talent, but you know that you can't match what New Japan is going to pay him.
Next up, Sting and Dusty Rhodes defeated the Road Warriors Hawk and Animal with Paul Ellering via disqualification, and this match was for the NWA World Tag Team Championships. Match went about 11 minutes, 30 seconds. Good match here for sure, but it's just interesting that obviously the Road Warriors retain titles, but interesting that they're kind of the heels here because remember they were teaming with Dusty. They were six-man with Dusty. They turn on Dusty. They try to rip his eye out. They try to, you know, destroy his eye. Even in the match, Hawk is repeatedly going after his eye. Did you like the Road Warriors heel turn at this point when they're probably at the height of their popularity as a babyface?
Yeah. You gotta look and see. Dusty was the number one baby face. I'm not saying this out of maliciousness, because I read his book after he died. He gave me the highest compliment I could have ever received. He said the two Red Seals he ever worked with was Terry Funk and myself.
Wow.
So I can understand why Dusty did it too. It wasn't just ego. He was afraid they were going to go to New Japan also. You got to remember, those guys were making $20,000, $25,000 a week. And they could take every booking that they had. They could go for 10 weeks. They could go for the whole tour. It's kind of hard to fault them for what they did.
When you look at it, at the Road Warriors here, I mean, they're super over as baby faces. Do you think the heel turn is kind of misguided, though, as far as Dusty? Because he actually gets booed in this match, and he was getting booed a little bit on TV. But Sting, his tag partner, is getting cheered. It was like the weirdest thing. And the Road Warriors, when they're fighting Sting, they're not getting cheered as much. But when the Road Warriors are fighting Dusty, they're getting cheered. And they're supposed to be the heels. Weird, right?
Yeah. And I think that Dusty saw that, just like Hogan, when I went to Hogan and said it's time to turn heel.
Yep.
It was time for Dusty to turn heel.
He wouldn't do it?
He wouldn't do it. He knew how important he was being a babyface.
So what happens here is Paul Ellering interferes. The Road Warriors get disqualified. Sting and Dusty do end up winning the matches. But like I said, the Road Warriors will retain the title. So they're still kept strong, still kept the champions. But it's just weird, kind of surreal world where Dusty's now the heel in the fans' eyes, getting booed. The Road Warriors and Sting are baby faces, and they're on the opposite sides. It was a really weird match, but it was good. I mean, it was definitely interesting. But wow, the crowd is not liking Dusty at this point in late 88.
Yeah.
Then we have the main event of the evening. Ric Flair, who's the NWA World Champion with James J. Dillon, defeats Lex Luger in 31 minutes to retain that NWA World title. Excellent, excellent match. You could say that Ric Flair can work with anybody, carry anybody, but I felt like Luger was really coming into his own here, and I felt like he did a great job. Really, really good match. Obviously, it's one of those matches you kind of go out of your way to see, because it's one of those Flair classics for sure that I absolutely love. Interesting that Flair attacks Luger's leg with the steel chair, softening it up. So when Luger goes for the power slam, then he goes for the torture rack, he's got Flair. His knees buckle from the chair shot earlier that the ref didn't see, and the cheating by James J. Dillon. So the knee is in horrible shape. Flair not only falls on top of him when he drops for the torture rack, he also puts his foot on the top on the rope, on the rope there to make sure that he gets the pin. So, you know, basically cheating to retain his NWA title. You like that?
Yes, because Luger was coming into his own, but he wasn't ready just yet to carry the belt. We were hoping that he would carry the belt. And it was just not his time. You know what I always said about you have to fail and fail, like we talked about
Cody. Yep.
Yeah. Same thing.
And you get that sympathy. You start building yourself back up and fighting back to the top.
Yeah.
Just really weird here. They did have a dark match, which was like a battle royal. It was a 17-man, $50,000 bunkhouse battle royal. Went 20 minutes. JYD won. And he last eliminated Abdul the Butcher. Just weird to just to have that, but I'm just throwing that out there to mention that, just to kind of cover all bases in the show. But really, a really strong show. Gotta say, the only bad match was the Russian Assassins and JYD and Ivan Koloff. Every other match was really good. So to me, really, really strong pay per view here for Starrcade 1988.
Yeah, it was to give JYD the win.
Any specific reason? I mean, we're in Virginia. Is it just
go
home happy kind of thing?
No, it was JYD deserved it. He should not. We were in a rock and a hard place. We needed heels, but we needed JYD to maintain his status.
Yep, gotcha. So after Starrcade's over, Ric Flair and Lex Luger feud is no more. The Four Horsemen would officially disband. James J. Dillon leaves WCW to take a front office job in the WWF. The Horsemen became a part of the Hiro Matsuda faction called the Yamasaki Corporation. Then basically, you know, he sells, quote unquote, sells all of his contracts. J.J. Dillon, that means, to Hiro Matsuda. Basically, Flair and Wyndham are the only two remaining Horsemen, as Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard go to the WWF. Eventually, Barry Windham will head over to the WWF. Flair will start feuding with Ricky the Dragon Steamboat in one of the greatest feuds of all time. Dusty Rhodes will eventually get fired from WCW for blading on an episode of WCW, World Championship Wrestling. And then Ted Turner had a strict no blading policy. So basically, you know, he's gone there. He, for a brief period of time, starts the PWF, which is basically the old Florida territory with Steve Kern and Mike Graham. Then, of course, he heads over to the WWF in mid-1989, becomes the Common Man, and eventually Mr. Polka Dot Man in the WWF. Tony Schiavone would leave WCW in February 89, heading to the WWF as well. Paul Jones, of course, would eventually leave WCW and then eventually retire from the business. So a lot of change after this pay-per-view occurs, after Turner is the boss, right? I mean, whew, you lose Arn, Tully, JJ, and Dusty, and then eventually Wyndham.
Yeah. Lost a lot of great talent.
Is that too much to overcome?
No. Because sooner or later, the NWO appears.
It would be quite some time. It would be about 8 years later. So, I mean, it would be quite some time between. WCW obviously had some tumultuous times. Flair would leave for a while. So it just seemed like Starrcade 88 is kind of like, obviously, the last true NWA show. Turner takes over, and then there's a complete change within the organization as JJ and Dusty, the two office guys, the two bookers, are gone.
Yeah, and blame that on Jim Herd.
Was not the best hire by Ted Turner, for sure. I know we've talked about this a million times before, but the Pizza Hut man was not the best hire.
No. No.
Let's hit the plugs. You follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Two Man Power Trip. Check the website, TMPT Empire. Kevin, what do you got? What do you got going on?
Well, I'm going to Salt Lake City in 3 weeks. The town is doing very well. And then the book has kind of taken off, and I appreciate you plugging it. Old School, Ring Squared. All I can say is pick it up, and you can follow along what we've talked about.
Good stuff there. Thank you, everybody, for listening. See you right back here next week, and have a good one, folks. This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You can check us out on Facebook. You can subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron, and also check out the website TMPTEmpire.com and buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies, brother. College football fans, are you ready for week one? DraftKings Sportsbook is hooking you up with a can't-miss offer to start the season strong. This week, new customers can bet just $5 on college football and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Anything can happen in college football. That's right. Your team could go from unranked to dynasty mode in just a couple of years. Change comes fast. The only thing that's a lock is great offers from the DraftKings Sportsbook. Life's more fun when you're in on the action. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code TASKMASTER, all lowercase. New customers can score $200 in bonus bets instantly when they bet just $5 on college football. Only DraftKings Sportsbook is the way to go, and use that promo code TASKMASTER, then the crown is yours. That's right. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use that promo code TASKMASTER. Own it, live it, win the crown.
We love the 1980s wrestling era, when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and the family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lanny Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.
True Grit. True Grit. True Grit. It's a competition in a class by itself. Starrcade 88. True Grit. The biggest, baddest wrestling event of the year. Now available on video cassette. Witness over 2 hours of thrilling, heart-stopping action. It's an eye for an eye when American Dream Dusty Rhodes and sizzling hot Sting battle against the awesome might of the Road Warriors. And massive Bam Bam Bigelow gets his shot at the U.S. heavyweight title and the self-confident Barry Windham. Plus, dog-faced Gremlin Rick Steiner struggles for his honor and the World TV title against former teammate Mike Rotunda. The Midnight Express with Jim Cornette and the original Midnight Express with Paul E. Dangerously. Fight for supremacy in a raging grudge match. And Steve, Dr. Death Williams, tags up with Games Master Kevin Sullivan in an intense duel with the Fantastics for the U.S. Tag Team Championship. And the ultimate, five-time world heavyweight champion Nature Boy Ric Flair collides with total package Lex Luger in a powerful NWA World Heavyweight Championship matchup that may never again be repeated. Plus, much, much more. You won't want to miss a minute of this historic first-class competition. Starrcade 88 True Grit. Reserve your ringside seat by ordering this action-packed video cassette today. Here's how to order. To order your very own Starrcade 88 True Grit video cassette, get your credit card ready and call toll-free 1-800-257-1234 or send $30 plus $5 postage and handling to Starrcade 88, Box 7500, Atlanta, Georgia. Sorry, no CODs. Operators are standing by now, so call 1-800-257-1234 for NWA Wrestling at its most explosive. Call 1-800-257-1234 and order Starrcade 88 today.